Welcome to worship at College Park. We are so blessed to be here together today. A few announcements we'll make as we begin. First, we'd like to find out who is in worship. The way that we do that, there are pew pads on the inside out of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, write down your name, contact information, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Then, once it gets to that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started, that would be very helpful. That first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. Several things listed in your bulletin. Upcoming events, opportunities for the week. Just draw your attention to a couple of those. Our picnic at the park continues on Wednesday evenings. Make note of that. Bring your own picnic supper at 6, prayer time at 6:30, and Bible study at 6:45, then dessert provided at 7:10. Let's see, other things are happening, preschool day camp, children's camp, other things coming up. Let's see, a couple of things I want to make note of. Children's time today, we're inviting all the kids, come and join me right down here for children's time. Big Raj, I'm guessing you have an announcement.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good to hear from you there. I checked the table yesterday, and it's in good shape. For those of you who don't know, I fell last night and hit my head on the table and knocked it over.
I like that new scooter. I like that. Is that a result of the fall off the curb? You had to get a new scooter? He's not listening. All right. We're glad that he's okay. The food is great on Saturdays. And we need your help. There is a sign-up sheet for food. See how I work that in? All right. Thank you. I'm a professional. Professional announcer. All right. You... At the Smith Hall entrance, there is a table that you can sign up to bring food to assist those who are helping on Saturday. So we're thankful for all the people that are playing their parts in the home project. Mary.
Just a couple of discipleship opportunities for you. Book Club will meet the last Monday of this month. I believe that's the 28th. Our book for this month is The Prayer Box by Lisa Wingett. That's an interesting read. Also, starting tomorrow, and it will run on Mondays at 10 and Tuesdays at 7, so you have your option, or if your schedule, you need to kind of switch up your time, you have two options each week. For the next 4 weeks, we will be doing the study Choose Joy by Kay Warren, and you are invited to join us. We will meet bottom level of the education building, probably in the Christian Fellowship Room.
Is that the orange building?
The orange building. If you follow the color-coded signs, it's the orange building.
Okay. I have a personal request. Pray for us as we go to youth camp tomorrow. We're taking about 75 youth and adults, and so we'd appreciate the prayers as we've got cooks that are having to cook for all those teenagers and lots of adults that are going down. So we would appreciate your prayers as we go. Any other announcements? We're good?
We're good.
I want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You've already given us your information on the pew pad, and we're very thankful for that. If you're a guest, we'd like to give something to you. Just raise your hand right where you are. Ushers will recognize you and give you a packet of information. Inside this packet is a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the history of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship this day. You know, one of your favorite things during the summer, going to the pool, just enjoying the water, enjoy being with other people. Well, when you have a four-year-old, they like to jump in the pool, and they like to splash, and they like to kick, and they like to do things to get you wet. And we did this yesterday, late after the work day, took Matthew to the pool, and but one of the things that we don't always like to do is when you jump off the edge of the pool, you know, mommy or daddy has to be close, right? But mommy and daddy like to try to get further and further to see how far they're going to jump. Mommy and daddy, they like to push us, and they're supposed to challenge us to get stronger, to get more courage. I think in those moments, I'm reminded of sometimes how God does for us. He wants us to remember, I'm going to catch you. But you have to have courage to do something challenging and different. There's a big world out here that needs my love. And whether it's a Habitat house or whether it's a neighbor, you and I need courage to get out of the shallow end and get in the deep end of what God is doing in our world. We get courage when we come together as the body of Christ. As we worship Him, He strengthens us for the task that He has given us. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. Father, how often do we live our life as you are so far away from us? We have great fear about what today will bring. Remind us this morning that you are always with us. And you do call us to do difficult things. But Jesus never leaves us nor forsakes us. Your Holy Spirit stays with us. But you pull us out of our comfort zone to do big things for you. Your love and your grace and your mercy calls us to take risks because people's lives call us. Their eternity calls us to risk relationships, to tell people how much that you love them. Give us the courage today to tell you first so that we may have courage to go out and tell others. You are alive and you are well and you are working in this world through us. Be in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All the kids, I think we're all already down. We got a few. Come on. We'll wait till everybody gets down here. We got the airplane. Jared, the airplane. Take a seat. Crisscross applesauce right there. Okay, I've got a question. Have you ever been to like an amusement park or like Disney World or the fair or all right, we've all been. What's the best ride ever? The best ride ever. Goofy's, the Goofy ride at Disney World, that's a good one. Yeah, that one. That was a good one. What? And let's listen to Miss Rebecca's answer. Rebecca. Cinderella's Castle. Oh, that's a good one. What else? Thomas, have you ever, what's your favorite ride? Star Tours, yeah, that's a good one. Space Mountain, that's a good one. Rock and Roller Coaster, that's a good one. I love roller coasters. Now, did anybody else love roller coasters? Anybody else? Oh, look at there. Lots of people like. Now here's a question I have, though. I want you to think about this. If it was whatever ride that you like to ride, is it more fun to watch it? Or to get on it and ride it. Exactly. Right. Even though mom and dad, yep. Yep. Even though you had to spend lots of money, I need you listening. Jared, are you listening? Are you listening? Thank you. Now, when we go and we look at all these big roller coasters and we see them going up and down and side and over and flipping, it's great to watch, but it's so much better to be on it. This morning, Pastor Raymond is going to talk about the exact same thing about there's a lot of people who say, Jesus, he's a pretty nice guy. But until you walk with him, until you live with him every day, that's when you understand how cool he is and how amazing he is. Not just to watch him, not just to read about him, but to live with him, to walk with him, to do the things that makes us more like him. It's just like being on a roller coaster. We can either watch a roller coaster, and that kind of looks fun, or to be on the roller coaster, which is so much better. It's exactly what Pastor Raymond's talking about. Being with Jesus, walking with him, is so much better than anything else we can do in this life. So the next time you go and you see your favorite ride, and you think about getting on that ride and how much fun you have, remember, being with Jesus, that is the best ride of all. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much that you sent Jesus to be with us. And being with Jesus, following him, living for him, is just like being on our favorite ride. So much better than just watching it. You want us to live it, to be a part of it. Help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seat now. Good job.
This morning, as we read our scripture, we'll be focusing on some people who like to get on the roller coaster and some people who do not. As we hear this together, and please join me if you'd like, I'll be reading from Matthew 13, 1 through 9, and also verses 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." And then in verse 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. "When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path." The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Let's go to God together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, all of us have friends, acquaintances, or family members who know about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. They've seen evidence of him in other people. But they just walk around that knowledge and never enter into that personal relationship with you. Father, we think if only they would know the peace that they would have in a world where peace is hard to come by, where the love that would just transform them and open their lives to all kinds of wonderful adventures and relationships, and the joy that would be there even in the darkest night, in the greatest challenge, that joy. So, Father, we lift up all of those that we know who have not yet embraced Jesus, who do not know of that eternal life that's provided through the death and resurrection of our Savior. Father, we just pray for them and lift them up and ask that they may come to see the light through us, and that you would send other people that would help them to find that light and to walk into it, to let go and to embrace you. It's hard to let go because many think we're losing control. But indeed, we're stepping into a life of purpose and meaning, into who we were created to be by you. So, Father, we just pray that you would transform us, that we would be willing and open by the guidance of your Holy Spirit to share with people in our lives, whether they're close to us or we don't know them that well, that you would open doors and pathways to begin relationships and communication, that we can share of the treasure that we hold inside. Please don't let us keep it to ourselves, but help us to share of what you offer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I want to take time now to thank you for the amazing love that you have bestowed upon us. As sinners, we have failed you many times, and we will fail you again in the future, Lord, but your love is never ending. Your love surpasses all. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
He's worthy of our praise. So how are you and Jesus? How are you and Jesus doing? That's the question before us today. We're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture from Romans chapter 8. I invite you, if you have a Bible with you, turn to Romans chapter 8. If not, there should be one there in the pew if you want to follow along. We will be reading the first 11 verses of that. I know that there's a Sunday school class that's been struggling a little bit with some passages from Romans, and it's good material to sort through and see what Paul is writing, what Paul is trying to teach us about the nature of God and the nature of Jesus Christ. I'm also indebted to Kirk Byron Jones, who offers some really good insights into this particular passage of Scripture. So let's read it together. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. There's a transition coming right here. You, however, okay? He's talking about those who live according to the sinful nature. Now he's drawing a distinction. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Fascinating passage of Scripture about living in the Spirit, what it means to walk and live in the Spirit. There's a book that's a really interesting read. A fellow named John Eldridge, and I know he's written some popular books in Christendom and good reading. He's offered a book entitled Beautiful Outlaw, Experiencing the Playful, Disruptive, and Extravagant Personality of Jesus. It's really a fascinating read. It's kind of got a little bit of an interesting title there, which kind of hooks you in a little bit. But in his book, he offers the following summation. Quote, an intimate relationship with Jesus is the most transforming experience of human existence. To know Him as He is to come home. To have His life, joy, love, and presence cannot be compared, end quote. An intimate relationship with Jesus is the most transforming experience of human existence. I believe the Apostle Paul would have agreed 100% with that summation. More than 2,000 years ago, Paul seemed to think the very same thing. You know, he doesn't use the exact same words, granted, but he expresses the same kind of sentiment. If you could kind of sum up his thoughts in chapter 8, you know, it's kind of, Jesus is the biggest and best thing that can ever happen to anyone, period. It's the biggest and it's the best thing that can happen, bar none. Paul believed it so much that he articulated a theology of resurrection that has stood the test of time. You know, and while many books have been written and many commentaries have been made to give testament to this wonder of wonders on which Paul expounded, you know, a simple rendering really comes down to these words. It's not enough. It is not enough that Jesus has been raised. Let that sink in. It's not enough that Jesus has been raised. Only when Jesus has been raised and is alive in you is there something worth shouting about and living for. Do you agree with that? It's not enough that he's been raised. It's what has taken place in your life that gives you something worth living for, that gives you something worth shouting about. Is Christ in you? Does his Spirit dwell in us? And perhaps the question Paul would ask us today is this: is Jesus alive and well in you? How are you in Jesus? How are you? How are you in your relationship with him? Is Jesus alive and well in you? Do you feel his courage inside? Do you feel courage? When Jeff was talking with the kids about roller coasters, the word courage came to my mind. You know, when you think about it, some of the rides now, it's just like, I love them, but there's a moment when you go, okay, all right, when they say, hold on tight, you know, make sure your hands and feet are inside the ride, you know, it's like, okay, courage. In our journey, in our walk with Christ, it will require courage. I read a story this week of a lady named Alice Walker, who early in her career, many of you may know her as the author of the story, The Color Purple. But early in her career, she was asked by a leading national magazine to write about growing up in the South, what it meant for her to grow up in the South. And though Walker was pleased with what she'd produced, when she got done with this thing, she thought, it's really good. But the magazine came back and said, there's a major rewrite. There's a lot of stuff we want you to take out of here. There's a lot of revisions here. And Walker refused to do it. Based on the nature of what they were asking her to do, she just could not do it. Said, no, I'm not going to sugarcoat. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And so they had this kind of a showdown meeting with the producer, with the magazine publisher. And in that meeting, Walker was informed that she really just did not understand what was at stake here. They told her, you're going to have to change it. You're going to have to change it. You don't understand. You're going to have to change it or we're not going to publish it. Well, after kind of weighing her options, the on this side you had the positive impact of a major article in a major magazine. You know, what a wonderful impact that would have on a budding career. And then she weighed that against the integrity of herself as a writer. She told them, no, you don't understand. It's not me that has the problem here. You're the ones that don't understand. She said, the only thing that really is non-negotiable in my life is my relationship with Jesus Christ. My soul's salvation is the thing that really there's no decision making that needs to take place. I've decided that. Everything else is kind of peripheral. And everything else hinges upon my relationship with Christ. And I will not compromise my integrity to please you. I will not say something that's not true just to get published. It took courage as a young author, up to that point unpublished author, to take that kind of stand. And you say, well, Raymond, nothing really that monumental has happened to me in my life. I've never really had that kind of decision to make there that was make or break in terms of career. Well, maybe not, but every decision we make every day has an impact on those around us. Every decision we make every day influences other people. Every decision we make points others to Christ or points others to us. And they may seem incidental at the time, but we don't know in terms of eternity how it impacts. So take courage. Trust Christ in you to have courage to make the tough decisions. Second of all, is Jesus alive in you? Do you feel joy? The first one was, do you feel courage? The second one is kind of, do you feel joy? Now, y'all have heard me rant about this before, but, you know, joy is not equivalent to happiness, okay? Happiness is dependent upon life circumstances. If things are going well, you're happy, yeah. If life events have shaped such that they work out in your favor, you tend to be happy. Joy is much deeper than that. Joy, in a very real way to me, is the sweet, enduring residue of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Think about it that way. Joy is the sweet, enduring residue of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And it shapes everything that we do and say and feel. Do you want to see joy in all of its possibilities? Do you yearn for that? Well, consider this. On Friday, on Good Friday, the headline on earth was, Jesus is dead. That was the headline here. In heaven, the headline read, just wait. Sunday's coming. Just wait. You know, do you want to feel the joy in all of its hope? Understand, no matter how dark and dim it seems here, God is never done. Don't write the final chapter. It's not yours to write. It's God's to write. He's never done. Do you want to know joy in all of its resolve? Understand, God's love is more relentless than evil is heartless. His love is more relentless than evil is heartless. Innocence crushed on earth will continue to rise again and again and again through God's strength, through God's joy. Do you want to shout joy in all of its potency? Understand, God's love is the strongest power in the universe, period. It is stronger than death. We as mortals tend to think of death as the final. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's a gateway into eternity. And what power is that? God's love is the strongest power in the universe. Love will outlast death every single time. So do you want to sing joy? Do you want to sing joy in its God-rooted certainty? I like to sing joy. And it goes back to my days as a child at First Baptist Hendersonville. I learned a song, and it goes like this. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Where? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where?
In my heart to stay.
The certainty that it's rooted in God. Our joy is rooted in God to stay. When we sang that in the 9 o'clock service, after the service, they said, we could have sung all the verses. And I said, yes, you wanted to get to that part about, I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer down in the depths of my heart. And they said, yeah. We've got courage in Christ. We've got joy in Christ. Thirdly, is Jesus alive and well in you? Do you feel, is love inside of you? And we're talking about, you know, giddy, earthly kind of eros. We're talking about God's love. We're talking about, is love within? Because if love is within, that's the surest sign that Jesus is within. And love within is the surest way for love to be lived out in our daily lives. Jesus loved God in a way that was unprecedented. Understand that. He loved God in a way that was unprecedented. It was a deeply personal way that seemed wrong. It seemed wrong to those who were more threatened by it. If they had been less threatened by it and more intrigued and inspired by it, their history would have been changed forever. Their lives would have been changed forever. Instead, they kept trying to suppress it. They kept trying to kill it. Do you feel God's love more deeply inside of you as a result of your following Jesus? You should. We should. And has that brought you to love those around you that are unlovable or unlovely? Do you really love your enemies? Do you love those who hate you? Do you love those who persecute you? Do you love those that you never before thought you could possibly imagine before knowing Christ? Until you get to that point, I would argue you're not expressing the full depth of Christ's love. Maybe a part of it, but not the full depth of Christ's love. Love can. The love of God can love anything, everything that we cross paths with. Those people that are unlovely. Do you love them? For a moment, imagine that Jesus comes to us and he comes to you and he says, I've got a love letter from God, and apart from Scripture, because I do believe Scripture is God's love letter to us. Suppose he came up to you and said, I've got a short little letter here. I want you to imagine what that kind of love letter from God would say. What would it say for you? I kind of imagine it like this. Dear child, my precious child, I love you just for you, just for who you are. I wired you up. I created you. I love you. Period. Let go and let yourself feel loved by me. Just let go. All the love that you deserve and thought you never had, it's yours. I love you unconditionally. But you have to let me love you. You have to allow that. All the sunshine in the world means nothing if you don't see the light, if you don't feel the warmth. Letting yourself feel my love changes everything. Let me love you. And then go out and live my love. Sincerely, your Creator, your Heavenly Father, the one who gives you love. Man, I don't know what your love letter from God would look like, but quite honestly, you can stop imagining. You can stop imagining because Jesus is, in effect, God's love letter. He lived it out to show us how much he loved us. And God's Spirit is alive inside of each of us every single day, shaping and loving us that we in turn become something special. We become a special delivery of love to the world that God so loved in Jesus. So back to my original question. How are you and Jesus? How are you doing? How is your relationship? Hopefully you already feel his courage. Hopefully you already feel his joy. Hopefully you already feel his love inside of you. But if not, then hopefully today is the beginning of a brand new life for you. In Christ, we are a new creation. If you're here and you do not have that relationship, that's priority number one. We're going to sing in just a minute. We're going to stand and sing. And as we sing, that is what we call invitation hymn, or what do we call it? It doesn't have a title there. It just gives you a hymn number. All right? But trust me, it's a time of decision making. It is an invitation for you to have that personal relationship with the Creator of the universe who loves you so deeply. He gave everything for you. He gave his only son for you. And he showed us how to live that out through his son. So if you do not have that relationship with Christ, today is the day to respond to the invitation. That open tugging that you feel in your heart, that is God drawing you to him. And if you're here and you You say, Raymond, I just don't feel joyful. I don't feel lovely or loved. I don't feel courageous. Today is the new beginning for you. As a believer, claim the power of Jesus Christ in your life. Claim the power of the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to empower you, to give you courage, to show you what joy really means in your life, that it's not dependent on circumstances, to show you what love really means, that unconditional love. That doesn't mean you have to like everything that happens or accept the evil and this and that. It doesn't mean any of that. What it means is that you love one another as Christ has loved us. That's our challenge as believers. I'm going to pray for us that we would have that kind of courage and love and joy. And then following the prayer, we're going to stand and sing together. And if you have a decision that you need to make, I pray that you would have the courage to make that, that you would be honest with God in your decision making today. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, thank you for your love expressed in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the joy that we feel as new creations in Christ. Thank you for the courage that allows us to step out beyond our comfort zone. God, we pray now that as believers, we would take the next few minutes very seriously. Fathers, we open our hearts to you as we pour out who we are to you, that we would be honest about who we are with you, our relationship with Christ. God, send your Spirit to touch our hearts, to convict us, to comfort us, to reassure us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You stand with me as we sing together. I want to encourage you as following the benediction response as you are leaving here. Encourage one another, greet one another, check on one another. And during the course of this week, I encourage you to pray for one another. We're in this thing together. And truly, as God uses us, we need each other as well. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us together today to worship you. Father, to hear your word and to hear the singing and the praises that have been lifted up. God, it strengthens us. It strengthens us for the journey that we travel together. We pray that as we travel on that path, that your Spirit would walk with us and guide us and give us courage and strength for the day. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.